Welcome to our Moxie podcast series on professional sports. I'm your host, Roger Schmitz. Today we're talking about baseball. We're talking about data and technology and how trainers and coaches determine which technologies should be used with their athletes. My guest is Brad Scott, who is the head performance coach with the Atlanta Braves. Thanks for joining us, Brad.
Thank you very much for having me, Roger. It's a pleasure to be here.
So could you, just to start us off, could you tell us a bit about your background and how you came to be the head performance coach in a major league or on a major league baseball team?
Yeah. Well, my background, kind of like everybody else as a coach, you know, I played sports growing up, went to school for exercise physiology, and honestly didn't really know what I wanted to do. And my senior year as an intern, I had an internship and went and worked at a university. And that was kind of my gateway into a college strength and conditioning. I'd always, you know, worked out as an athlete. And then once I could see that it was actually a profession, that was really what was the catalyst. And from there, I went to grad school, was a GA at University of Arizona, and then spent probably the next 15 years actually working my way through different colleges and universities as in the strength and conditioning and performance realm. During that time, I just had a lot of great influences and people that have taken the time to mentor me. I had gone back to massage therapy school at one point. I was kind of trying to find some answers to certain things and how do I make my athletes move better. And I felt like, you know, that was kind of the complement to the strength and conditioning realm, so to speak, of if we are on the performance side and we're kind of tearing them down, then how do I get better at maybe helping them address injuries, helping them kind of recover better and kind of be a little bit more of a complete coach, shall we say. So that actually kind of led into that soft tissue degree, led into myself working with the Atlanta Braves and coming on at first in more of a performance therapy role, in which I was kind of this guy who could do a lot of the soft tissue work for the guys and the maintenance that they needed, and then also help with the rehabs and the long-term rehab assignments that we needed to do, and then also, you know, working in the weight room. And so that kind of led into the position that I'm currently in today, and I'm going into my fifth season with the Braves.
Excellent. So maybe comment a little bit. So your background is in strength and conditioning. So in baseball, is that a common background for your position, or do other people come more from physical therapy or exercise physiology or other types of backgrounds, or is S&C kind of a common background for your position?
I think nowadays it's actually a common ground which people are coming in. You know, where the staffs are growing tremendously as we have two physical therapists on staff with us. We have our athletic trainers. We have a massage therapist. So you're kind of looking at this holistic model is really starting to take off for player health and welfare, essentially. So I think, you know, I kind of was at the beginning point when strength and conditioning, I think, you know, relatively young as a profession. There were definitely some great people like Al Vermeil and, you know, Mike Boyle and some of the others who have been in the field for a long time that have really been the catalyst for kind of understanding that performance training can have a really big impact on the success of an organization. You know, I recently, you know, The Last Dance is on right now, which is the ESPN documentary on the Bulls. And I had recently read an article by Jerry Krause saying how instrumental Al Vermeil was in part of those championships, and kind of the guy in the background had such a big impact on the overall health and the performance of those players. So I think overall, as we continue to kind of move into not only this era of strength and conditioning within professional sports, say in the last 30 to 40 years, which is relatively new, so to speak, now you're starting to really see it become more mainstream, and performance training in general is becoming more mainstream when you look at performance training centers. Before it was kind of, you would go to a gym, right? And we had kind of like the more Nautilus approach or more machine and bodybuilding approach. And now you look at the progression of our field and understanding the performance aspect, and you've got chiropractors and physical therapists and massage therapists, and you've got kind of more of a complete model to influence player health and performance.
Okay. With your background in S&C, and I think you're a bit of a data guy. How do you use data to guide the training of your athletes, or do you use data? Do you know what kind of data do you use, and maybe comment a little bit on how is that different for the different positions? I mean, obviously, pitching is a special case in baseball, but maybe comment a little bit on how you use data with the variety of athletes that you work with.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of evolved over time, and kind of when you in the college environment, I use data a lot more, quite honestly, in certain ways. Basically, what we try to do is take the data and capture it as part of the actual training session. So early on in my career, it was kind of like, you know, I would test and train all the different performance metrics, say at the beginning of the semester in the college environment, or maybe at the beginning of the season. And then, you know, you wait 3 months and then you would test at the end of the season. And, you know, probably 10 years ago, I started looking at if I'm going to test something and it's important, why don't I start to weave the testing and the data into the actual program design of that athlete? And that way it becomes more of a GPS to how is this program working for this particular athlete? Are they improving or are they starting to kind of stall out, in which case we need to maybe change that? And then also, how do we gauge the overall readiness for that athlete for the workout that we have prescribed for them? You know, if it's more of a strength and power based workout and they come in and there's fatigue from a subjective wellness questionnaire there, they didn't sleep very well. There's overall fatigue when you're looking at maybe a jump or a force plate, you know, signature, that maybe now we reassign what is going to be the goal for that particular day and maybe ramp, make some changes around that. So I think when we look at data in general, it needs to be weaved into our training as kind of a GPS. It has to be influence and bring about better conversations with our athletes. And I think that's really what it does at all levels. Is building some trust within the athlete and saying, hey, this is where you stand today. Let's, how you feeling? Kind of looking at the objective side of things, whether it's a, you know, force plate data, whether it's we're auto-regulating a set and saying, hey, listen, we're going to use velocity-based training. When the speed drops off or the load selection drops off, then the set drops off. You know, even in the case when you're looking at the use of Amoxi, right? When, you physiologically can't continue to do the intervals the way that we're looking for you to do that, then that's how we kind of can cut the set. So data can also be used in a way in real time to help regulate what is kind of the minimum effective dose or the optimal dose for that athlete for the physiological effect that you're looking for. And then there's also the baseball side of things is now you're looking at what is the total workload that that athlete underwent. And that there's a couple of non-specific things, right? When we look at kind of data, right? Sometimes data is how many consecutive games that athlete has played in a day. You know, where's the, what was the schedule when we look at non-specific stress and travel stress? You know, did we get in at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning the night before? Now that athlete's in a new bed, there's a lot of poor sleep quality. Recovery might be an issue. How does that influence the conversation that we have with the athlete the following day? Because at the end of the day, these guys are baseball players and that's what their primary, we're there to support them on the field and give them the best opportunity to succeed. So kind of having those conversations and building that trust and using the data to do so helps kind of guide our decision-making on a day-to-day, week-to-week, monthly basis.
Sure. So how with the COVID and everything being shut down, and now you've kind of had to evolve into a more remote kind of training mode, how has that changed how you're using data or how you're using technology? And maybe even tell us a little bit about how are you interfacing with the players during this time?
Yeah, I think honestly, right now we're in this uncharted waters time and everyone has a different situation, right? Whether it's I'm a young guy who I haven't really made a lot of money. I don't really have a home, meaning like I'm maybe a small condo. I don't have a gym that I can go and work out at. So how do we give that athlete more body weight exercises and kind of continue to do what he can to maybe have another guy who has a full on weight room in his house and a batting cage in his house, and he can kind of maintain a decent workload all the way through. So it's a matter of, again, kind of what we're trying to do is get out ahead and talk to the guys. First and foremost, are you safe? You know, is your family safe? Are they affected by, number one, by COVID-19 personally? And then second of all is, okay, what do you have to your advantage? If you're a pitcher, are you still able to throw and maintain the practice of your skill? If you are throwing, you know, do you have access to a mound? Because that's going to change as well. You're going to be able to throw some bullpens and kind of stay in shape and keep your arm going. So there's that aspect of it. And then we're also using different, you know, whether it's an app on the phone that we're programming through, or if it's some guys are a little bit more traditional and saying, hey, here's kind of an Excel spreadsheet. Let's kind of, you know, send it out to you. Let's FaceTime and kind of go through the particular workout with you and make sure you're coaching it right and kind of facilitating that aspect of it. I think the one thing that is going to be the most challenging for us that I really kind of just making sure that from a communication standpoint is the guys have to sprint. You know, like it's easy to get strong during these times. It's easy to kind of get fit, but to be able to be fit to sprint and the demand that places on the human body is something that I really want to make sure our guys understand that hitting some top end speed work and getting out onto a field and running and doing some curves and being able to move, that's what's going to keep you very healthy, and that's what's going to keep you tuned up going into the season. So those are the things that we'll tend to look at. That's how we're kind of communicating with our guys. Myself and the rest of the performance team and athletic training staff have been great about communicating with guys on a daily basis. Number one, for their overall health and the safety of their families. And then two, making sure that, you know, what do they need from us moving forward so that we can kind of facilitate and direct their training.
Okay. So what kinds of technology are you currently using? I know like motion capture is a big deal in pitching. You've mentioned force plates. Maybe could you just give us an idea of the types of technologies that you use with your athletes?
I think the first thing we'll do is, you know, we use our timing gates, which I think just from an electronic timing standpoint, right? Like how do we quantify sprint demands? The second thing we'll do is we are starting to use force plates within our organization. We also will look at, you know, just basic heart rate monitors if we're looking at prescribing of workloads and conditioning and monitoring rest periods. I'm trying to think of what else. We'll also use velocity-based training as well. That is another form of kind of where are in the force velocity curve are we training? And then also the prescription of load based upon what zone and what particular physiological response we're looking for. And then honestly, just trying to keep it simple. Yes, they do motion capture and we'll video a lot of guys when we're coaching them and we'll start to break it down and use coach's eye. But right now it's kind of keeping it simple, shall we say, and kind of moving forward a more of a slow cooked approach to how we're doing things.
So how does new technology get adopted at this level? I mean, you know, I'm guessing you don't just go out and get a new gadget and slap it on your multi-million dollar pitcher and just give it a go. What's your approach to evaluating new technology, and then how do you go from evaluating it to implementing it on your high-end athletes?
Yeah, I think that personally starts with one as a coach. I always say like the N of one, right? And so there's a little bit of what is it going to do. Is it repeatable? Is it reliable? And is it valid? You know, does it actually do what it says it's going to do? So has there been some research that has been utilized, and how do we start to vet the research on it? What is the cost initiatives of that? And then I think the biggest thing is, instead of trying to, I think there was this giant revolution where technology became a really big part of training. And it was kind of like this, everyone trying to keep up with the Joneses type of thing. And now I think it's more or less, how do I pull back? How do I say, what are we trying to answer? What question are we trying to answer that will improve the health and the wellness and the skill development and the skill of the particular athletes that we're working with? And then, where does that fit within our organization? And so instead of always kind of saying we got to go big and global and put something all the way down, a lot of the times it might be, hey, listen, we need to look at some sleep technology. Some of our guys are having some issues with sleep or and or recovery. What options are available out there? How do I, as a coach, connect with, you know, the people that are in charge of producing the technology? How do I work within the network that I have from my other professionals? And then how do I kind of vet that technology and make sure that from my own standpoint as a coach that I have utilized the product? And then that way I can start to educate that athlete. And I can also say, like, this athlete, I can meet that athlete where they are based upon, you know, the maturity level of that particular athlete. What is the issues that maybe that they're coming to me for help with? And then how do I kind of give them the proper technology to help answer that? So it's a little bit of kind of understanding and building a toolbox of technology, and then understanding the questions that you want to ask, and then what technology fits with that, you know? So that's kind of how we'll look at it from more of an individual standpoint. And then there's also, you know, whatever the front office is going to look at and what questions they're trying to answer as well. And how do we kind of work together in more of a team of teams approach and saying, hey, listen, globally, we're trying to look at this. You know, what do we have as options that we can go out and seek, and what's going to be cost effective and what's going to be utilized for really guiding what it says it's going to do as well.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been looking at muscle oxygen monitoring. I know we talked with you about maybe a year ago already. And so maybe you could comment a little bit on that technology, like what questions are you trying to answer with that? And I think you've been using it on yourself kind of as that N of one. So maybe you could comment a little bit on muscle oxygen monitoring and, you know, what you're hoping to see out of it and what you're starting to see out of it.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I've noticed with Moxie is we look at things from more of a global standpoint with a general heart rate monitor. That was kind of what we knew. And now we've got this portability to say, okay, what is my global response from a heart rate standpoint? And now what is my specific response? Kind of how is the actual tissue utilizing oxygen, and how there's such a direct link in a physiology standpoint of, you know, everyone always thinks of the older traditional from 0 to 10 seconds, it's PCR. And then, you know, you don't use oxygen until after 2 minutes, right? And now you look at it and there's a direct link between, you know, SMO2 levels and PCR are going to be utilized right off the bat. And then, so now we're looking at, are there any imbalances? So I think that's one thing that we're looking at is personally, like, do I have an imbalance between a right and a left side? In my own case, I had ACL surgery on the left. So my left quad may not utilize oxygen to the same capacity and smoothness that my right does. So looking at that aspect of it, also utilizing it from a prescription standpoint of, hey, I'm going to go do intervals. I need to drive. How am I able to produce power? And what does that look like? You know, how do I achieve certain amount of watts per se on a echo bike? And then what was the cost of getting to those watts? And then, you know, I might say I've got however many intervals until I can't recover anymore. Or I might set my intervals and then the rest between the intervals until my SMO2 levels come up to a certain level. So there's a lot of different applications. And me personally, I think when I look at technology, I kind of want to make sure that there's multiple ways of which we can utilize it in different scenarios. So with the muscle oxygen, I can see, okay, what is it? If there's a difference between right and left, I can look at maybe something from return to play aspects of how coordinated the tissue is. I can look at monitoring that. How does that one particular athlete, so it becomes so much more specific to how is that athlete interacting with the exercises that I'm prescribing, and then how does that fit over the course of, say, the week as well, right? We may have a workout where we're trying to essentially drive SMO2 levels down in a particular muscle group, and we want that athlete to be able to function in a low oxygenated state. And then the next day we may come back and say, this is supposed to be a low workout in terms of overall stress, and I want to oversaturate the tissues with oxygen. And so how does that influence recovery? And so we can start to see what exercises influence what with that particular athlete based upon the physiological goal that we're trying to elicit to the best of our ability. Because I think when you look at writing a traditional program, it's a general hypothesis. And now we can actually start to see in real time how that athlete is responding to the hypothetical situation that we're putting them into. And that's where I think muscle oxygen and MOXIe has a big opportunity to help us do that.
Okay, so what do you see for, like, what are the potential upsides that you see here? You know, how are the athletes going to be better off? Is it going to be higher performance, less injury, or what, you know, what ultimately is the, and this is maybe true for any technology, what end result, how do you know if it worked? What end results are you looking for success?
Well, I think one is from a day-to-day basis, if we look at prescribing an exercise, and say we're going to do intervals on a echo bike again, you know, we can say, hey, you were able to get your prescription. This time you did 10 repetitions and you were able to do that. And we come back and you're in a better physiological state. And now you've improved to 12 repetitions and you're good. And then say maybe week three, you only go back to 7 repetitions, give or take. Because that's where the physiological state of your body was at that particular time you did that workout. So I think from that individualization of workload gives a prescription that allows that athlete to continue to build upon where they are. Another thing to look at is like how well do they utilize oxygen is another thing that we're looking at, right? Are they efficient in their utilization of oxygen? Can they desaturate well? And then also, what is the size of their gas tank? So if we're looking at that, you know, if we come in and they're more normally say at, say, 60% SMO2 levels, and they could desat down to, say, 20, and over time we get them to now have their resting SMO2 levels at 70, and we can get them to desat down to, say, 10, and now we've given them a bigger capacity for which to do work optimally. And we can chart that over time. So one, I think that helps one in our as a coach from our initial prescription of exercise. And two, as an athlete, they're fueled by their progress and they have an understanding and an awareness. So now we're teaching and guiding them and they're part of the process for where they want to go. From a injury standpoint, we're also looking at now we can kind of compare right to left sides in that return to play process and say, hey, this is kind of where you are. This is what we're noticing from a trend, because we know that damaged tissue is going to have a little bit of a inability maybe to utilize oxygen to the same level, whether it's to power output or kind of how does one gas tank compare to the other side. So from a return to play standpoint, I think that this has some big implications that can help us out as a coach and possibly as an organization.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time today to share your thoughts with us on how things are going with your team and with the technologies that you guys are working on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And good luck moving forward. I hope we're back on the field soon.
Yes, definitely. Stay safe and thank you again. I'm honored to be here.